Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 180, episode 3 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio! This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's funny to me to try and make that sound like a party.
You tried. You tried.
Hey, it's Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. AstraZeneca. Get the vaccine. That is courtesy of Ensign Jensen. I was trying to think of like a way to add on to it, maybe with like a, if you liked it, then you got to put the sting in it or some shit like that. But you know, they were
that was single too, ladies, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So
AstraZeneca. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Rhythmically, it was a little off the meter.
AstraZeneca.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think that was clear to everyone, but maybe I'm not coming through clear to you guys for some reason. It must be the Zoom. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
You need to give it up. I had about enough. It's not hard to see that boy ain't right. Not sorry that you seem to be accused. Gates right in his plea, that boy ain't shite.
Shout out to Juju on the Discord for that. That boy is my brandy, a Monica. That's been in the air. So yes, had to bring it back and adapt it to shit face Matt Gates.
Yeah. What? Why has that song been in the air?
We were just talking about it the other day.
Okay.
Maybe yeah. You weren't here.
Maybe not. The week you're gone? Maybe it was one of those things that just got memory hold.
It came up. Maybe I'm thinking of a different show I was on where I was talking about this. I'm sorry, man. When you do 12 motherfucking podcasts a week,
they did do a versus battle. So
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. You know, but it happened. This shit happened, and I talked about it with somebody. Zeit Gang, if you remember first from the show, please help me out because it's all a fucking blur.
Yeah. No, it's a most likely I'm just not remembering a conversation that happened literally minutes ago. That would be par for the course for me during this pandemic.
I felt like that happened yesterday when I was talking to you off mic about that Joel Embiid highlight of him juggling the ball. And then like a couple minutes later, like, yo, did you see that highlight of Joel Embiid like juggling the soccer ball? And I'm like, what the fuck? And you're like, but then he makes it in the, and you were talking about a different
right,
Joel
a
Embiid.
Different highlight.
But
yeah,
the
yeah.
way the momentum of it was going felt like one of those moments you're like, I yeah. just said this to this
oh
man.
No, what is happening? One of these days, I mean, that's going to happen. It's going to be like a malfunctioning robot where I just like mm-hmm. keep saying the same sentence over and over again. Or in a monotone, just repeat the word AstraZeneca over and over again and think that I'm singing All the Single Ladies. You know, yeah. one of these things is going to happen. You guys are going to be worried
gonna
about me.
Or I'm just going to keep saying cut to infinitely and you'll bring up the British coal gas study. Hey, look, we're already malfunctioning.
Hey, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented, the hilarious Andy Beckerman.
Hello, Jack, up, Miles, man? Justin. Hello, Zeit Gang. How are you doing on this wonderful gray morning?
Yeah. Wow, listen to that announcer voice. That's beautiful, yeah. man.
Oh, great. I've pivoted to be a shock jock now.
That's great. Hell yeah.
We're here in my shocking jocular room.
A dying art form. Like, yeah. You know, like, what's with, like, the 18-year-olds who think there's going to be the market for shock jocks right now who are going to walk into a desert wasteland?
What are they listening to that they think that there is, like, is Man Cow still a thing?
Oh, bro, man.
Does he exist?
Know.
I mean, or one of the most influential voices on me, Man Cow, for sure. Just one,
did
one
all
the
shock
greats.
Jocks just turn into like Ben Shapiro type shitheads?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to, like, when people are like, "You're a disgusting misogynist," they're like, "No, I'm a Nazi."
And you're like, what?
I love women. I'm a Nazi.
Okay.
Yeah, and then. Yeah, I think it's just generally like gone in the direction of podcasts, which is a good thing, you know.
Jesus, where's the Shock Jock podcast? I want to know. I want to know what podcasts are having jocks? Women ride speakers to orgasm.
Right.
Yeah, right. Who's doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I guess that is the Howard. Yeah.
Because like I've, Dirtbag Left has its own version of shock jockery, which is just like edgelording.
Right.
Right.
Who's like what's going on Barstool? What y'all, is there any shows like that on Barstool? Any shock?
Yeah, there's that one dude who I see every once in a while who like does the like 3-minute breakdown where he like has a very strong shock jock like persona, very strong, like his point of view is that of a shock jock where he's like, everything else is weird. I like chicks. I'm like, what is that? That's dumb, dude.
Just like a beer commercial turned into a human being.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so
and
that's
he,
what
I believe
shock
he's Barstool.
Are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that's just like it frat is. Bros with a mic who like aren't necessarily that clever, but like, what the fuck's going on, dog? Like, remember like in the heyday?
And then just have all commas and punctuation edited out of their speech so that it just jump cut to
straight sentences.
Andy, it's great to see you again.
It's
been
nice
a while.
Seeing you guys.
You look well, sir. You look well.
Thank you. I've been nothing to do in quarantine except ride the exercise bike and play Hades. So,
yeah.
What's Hades? Sure.
It's a Switch game.
Oh, ooh, nice.
Can I outsource something to the Zeit Gang?
Yes. Yeah.
I need Switch recommendations for games
Andy,
are...
Hold on,
you're
hold
talking
on.
To,
you
you're talking to
right
the Switch
here.
God, man.
Oh, that are in the vein of Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey or Metroid. If that
Jack,
ever,
bro.
Go. Here's your time to shine, baby. Hit him with those retros.
You know what? My brain, it's like all the words are trying to come out at the same time. All these different recommendations. Nice. I'm going to have to hit you. I want to be very thoughtful and mindful about my Switch recommendations.
I want to see what Zeit Gang says. And then I'll let you know after what they
click. Yeah. And then I'll critique them because, you know. It's
Zeit Gang is very gamer. We're focused. So I know, Zeit Gang, I know you got some Switch recommendations in the vein of all of those titles he just said. I'm not a switcheroo type of person, but I want to get one because I'm like 8 months late to every wave. So I was like, yeah, maybe I'll play Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Have you tried that one? Animal Crossing? Tom
Not
Nook?
My style. Not my style. I want to. Someone suggested me, I asked Jack. Other people, and they're like, "What about Stardew Valley?" And I'm like, "How many things do I get to kick or punch in that?" And they're like, "None." And I go, "No, thank you."
Yeah.
It's about what you can grow. You're like, oh, no.
Okay.
I'm summoning some kind of fucking demon. That's the only shit I'm trying to grow.
Grow some melons so I can smash them.
Not where game? I thought you were going with that sentence.
Yeah. The Gallagher role-playing game. I don't know.
It's a fun thing to violently smash. Melons.
Grow your melons for a live show later.
Yeah, yeah.
Whittle wood for a sledgehammer for a live show.
I mix all the topical refs. You know, I'm up on Switch, I'm up on Gallagher, you know, what the kids are talking about.
Gallagher, probably a progenitor of the shock jock, of the right-wing lunatic.
Yeah, he's like combo shock jock and like smooth jazz, like adult contemporary DJ, because he had sort of a laid-back vibe before he started smashing the pumpkins.
But like with a weirdly conservative vibe to him, if you like go back and watch his stuff.
Of course. Of course. That was all there was on Comedy Central when Comedy Central first became a thing. It was that and the Craig Kilborn Daily Show. And I just drank it all in. And that's informed most of my politics.
Wait,
Craig Kilborn and Gallagher.
Dude, reading.
that's why you listen to Ben Shapiro exclusively now.
Yeah, and Mancow.
Reading this whole thing about Gallagher on Wikipedia between him and his brother. Did you know that him and his brother had a falling? I didn't realize that his brother looks like him. And he's like, don't do my bit. Because you
Gallagher
look like
too.
Me.
Yeah. That's very wild.
Yeah, where's that movie? Where's the Gallagher biopic?
It's coming. It's coming. Slowly. But I'm on act two of the screenplay. All right, Andy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about corporations, people, not people. The conservatives are trying to make up their mind, having a hell of a time with it.
Hissing themselves, figuring out what's going on.
We'll talk about some vax panic. We'll talk about whether police should have guns. What do you guys think? Seen this? You heard about this? Maybe
let's,
not.
Let's zoom out further. Should we have police?
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We'll tell Joe Biden to shut the fuck up. We will talk about the history of the taser, all of that, plenty more. But first, Andy, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are, what you're up to?
Oh, boy. Misha Barton 2021. Something I looked up recently. In the pandemic, I've been rewatching The OC.
Okay.
It's part of my nightly ritual to stay sane. I eat a little bowl of potato chips and pretzels and watch an episode of the OC.
Huh.
Wait, okay. What's your, I want to continue this, but I want to stop you there on the little bowl of chips and pretzels. How do you prepare that? How big is the bowl? And what is your idea in terms of how you're, you know, moderating what the mix is and the amount?
Great question. So you got it. It's a small bowl. It's you know, regular, it's maybe a cereal bowl. All right. Okay. So it's not like huge. And you put like a handful of potato chips. Mm-hmm. And this is how you have to work it out. For every two regular size potato chips, you eat one pretzel. And they're rolled gold pretzels. Look, we're in California. Yeah. I can't get the good stuff. I'm from Pennsylvania. If I was back in Pennsylvania, I'd be getting Tom Sturges pretzels.
Tom Sturges pretzels,
the best. And probably, I don't know, Goods potato chips, whatever potato chips don't have lard.
Sure.
At this point. But that's the ratio.
Okay.
All right.
And so you're watching your OC, getting your salty snack on.
Right.
And you thought, what's Misha up to now?
Well, yeah, really all of them. Also, I learned something very interesting. Rachel Bilson comes from Hollywood royalty. She's like
her
third
dad
generation.
Is nominated for the screenplay for The Five Bloods this year. It maybe he's not nominated, but he should be. But yeah, that was a screenplay that was like about five Vietnam vets that was like has been kicking around since the 90s. And then Spike Lee came in and gave it a reason to exist.
Yeah.
But yeah,
she went to my high school.
Oh, which one? Rachel Bilson?
Rachel Bilson. Yeah.
Wow. Do you know her?
No, she was like a senior when I was a freshman.
Was she an actual student or was she like already acting? And
she's like, you know, like. it was the same thing. Like Kirsten Dunst is also like when right, you're acting, right. you don't go to, you're not at school. Like you're just at the, you just, you say you go to a school for like the social part to say like, oh, I go to this high school
right.
twice a year for a test. And then I'm on set the rest of the time.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know this, but Laura Bundy.
yes.
Andy, in a recent episode, I revealed that Laura Bundy, yes, that Laura Bundy, who played one of the kids in Jumanji, went to my high school in Kentucky. And yep. that was a defining fact for kids who went to my high school. And Ooh. Miles was like, oh, yeah, Kirsten Dunst went to my school. No big deal. And didn't even mention that Rachel Bilson did. Was just,
I mean, look, you know, look, did her and Rami Malek go out together when they were in high school? I don't know. He went to my high school, too.
What? I read she posted a picture when Rami Malek was nominated for an Oscar. She posted a picture of them from high school, and apparently he wrote her on Instagram, was like, please take that down. I'm a very private person.
When it comes to awkward pictures of me and what
yeah, of
I
me
was.
Is more of like a kind of round faced teen kid. Okay, mm-hmm. sure, Rami.
Here's an actual little known fact to me up until a couple weeks ago. Did you know that Penn Badgley and Adam Brody are not the same person? I had just fused them as the same person in my head because Dan and Adam, was his character's name Adam? So Dan, Penn Badgley played Dan in Gossip Girl. Adam Brody played
Seth Cohen.
Seth in The OC. And they were both like the literary kind of nerdy character. And I had absolutely completely fused them in my brain. And then Adam Brody was on Comedy Bang Bang the other week. And I was like picturing Penn Badgley the whole time.
Oh, Penn Badgley's Hot Mandzoukas, right?
is that what he is?
That's how I remember Penn Badgley.
Well, Penn Badgley, I've never seen with a beard. Does he rock a beard every once in a while?
Allow me to litter the chat with this image of Hot Mandzoukas, Penn wow. Badgley.
Yeah, he's the dude. From... The chat. Miles has just posted a 30-line-long link. Oh, yeah, Hot Zoukas.
I'm Hot for Zoukas.
Maybe Vulture should do one of those things where they have two friends talk, except with Penn Badgley and Mandzoukas.
Right.
Zooks and Penn.
How's the OC holding up? I was not, like, I watched a couple episodes when it first came out. I never really got fully into it. Is it good?
Well,
worth a rewatch?
I loved it when it first came out because yeah. Seth Cohen, I was close to that age, and he was into indie rock and comic books.
Right.
And representation matters, as we all know. And I had never seen someone into Death Cab and the X-Men on TV before. So an awkward Jewish kid into indie rock and comic books. So I found that to be important in my development. But not bad. It's not bad, honestly. Like, it's still pretty enjoyable. Like, they're all very good actors and they're having yeah. fun mostly. And there's some fun dialogue there. But it's like, it has the problems that any show that has to do 24, 25 episodes a season, like they mostly yeah. used to do, have, which is like, how do you fucking keep a show? How do you keep things going for 25 episodes? So there's right. all these ups and downs. So like everyone's breaking up every two episodes.
Right.
And yeah, I don't
there's
know.
There's some
I don't...
murders too, right? Don't they run into like the got to keep heightening it to the point that like, or not murders, but people die and like it goes.
Isn't that when the What You Say episode happens?
What You Say?
Yes.
That's the only thing I've never seen the OC before. And I've only.
You lived
I only
it,
know,
bro. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I did. Kinda. But I would
same
say.
Region
just,
of the country.
Would you, Andy, could I, a Blasian man in the year of our Lord 2021, who's never seen the OC, cast eyes upon this masterwork and have an effect that is positive?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. They're like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
It, like, that's gonna
I'm
be
trying,
my journey.
It's tough to think about it through the eyes of like present day kind of woke Hollywood. And I say kind of in the sense that like Hollywood today is like, they love hiring.
It's like
yeah.
companies, just
but it's still like
purposes.
Yeah, but it's still like everyone behind the scenes is white, so you're still getting a white perspective. It's just now said through the mouth of a black person,
right?
Mostly, there's you know, mm-hmm. obviously a handful of exceptions. I don't. It's fun. I don't know. I don't know like what you're looking for. It's certainly not. I didn't find it too offensive. It wasn't like.
No, I don't know if it would be offensive necessarily. More just like if as like, you know, like since you have a connection to it from back in the day, you're watching it with a different sense versus sort of objectively being like, yo, check out the OC. Check it out. It's streaming, baby.
I look, by the way, I didn't say check it out. I said this is
that's what I'm asking. So you're saying I'm not saying check it out.
Yeah. I was not recommending this. I was saying okay. This is how I've survived.
Right.
This is
my own unique medical intervention for my boredom.
Right. Well, this is Prozac for me. And I would never give someone else that prescription.
Right.
What's something you think is overrated?
Oh boy, my friends. I got one for you. Setting your fiction in Victorian England. Stop it. Stop setting your fiction in the most uninteresting period of England at the height of its colonial powers. We don't need it. Literally everyone is covered in dirt. Every orphan, every posh person is covered in dirt. Every rich person belongs to some weird fuck society that makes Eyes Wide Shut look like some awkward high school hand job. Everyone has to legally mention Jack the Ripper or Sherlock Holmes in every other sentence. England is the most boring time period. Stop setting your fiction there.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I cede the rest of my time.
Anytime you can spend an extra, you know, $50 million making a place and costumes look appropriate to a time, you know, you got to do it.
What do you think the obsession is?
It's when white people had the most power, and so
right,
yeah,
and the antebellum South is a little too aggressive,
right?
yeah,
can't touch that.
That's funny.
Victorian England, though.
Yeah, now we're talking.
now it's hitting, and they don't get this dog whistle. Woo-hoo,
Yeah, exactly. It's a dog whistle. It's like the last great dog whistle.
Right. It's like the MASH is about the Korean War, but it's really about Vietnam. It's like Victorian England. That's interesting. I wonder if there's any scholarly articles written about that as like Victorian, because it is like all about manners and a system of manners. And there is like
ugly people know their place.
Underbelly where like, you know, the kids have soot on their face, you know.
Right. That's right. Yeah. They look all the kids look like Al Jolson.
Right.
Oh, or
just yeah.
Or a more contemporary reference, such as Justin Trudeau at Halloween.
Mm. Right. Mm. Andy, what is something you think is underrated?
Well, look, you know, I on previous episodes I've gotten pretty political in these things, and this one is no different. We live in very politically volatile times, and one of the things that I find most underrated are Tootsie Roll lollipops.
Wow.
He went there. He went there.
Let me just sidebar with you, Jack, really quick. Do we want to have him say that?
I don't know, man. It's tough because of the blow pop contingent is going to be really...
The blow pop blowback.
The blowback.
And on top of the spending blow pack is going to do to get us out of office? Oh, no.
Wow.
Wait, what's with the... to be honest, I haven't had that shit in maybe 10 years.
See? You haven't, but they're delicious.
Yeah.
Except for, can I give you one exception?
Yes.
The chocolate.
Yes.
The chocolate ones.
Right.
Who needs that? I'm getting a chocolate surprise in the middle.
Right.
So I don't... Sorry, the cat here.
Your cat is twerking on your mic.
Speaking of chocolate surprise, I am looking at your cat's butthole.
Speaking of Tootsie Pops.
You know what? Squeeze butthole is underrated.
I do like the implication that you're surprised every time you get to the middle of a Tootsie Pop, too. You're like, whoa, this one too!
Naomi, get in here!
So I am team blow pop when it comes to this. Like, I like having the super sweet gum that curdles in your mouth after like 2 minutes. Ugh. Or turns like rock hard in your mouth after 2 minutes, whichever one. Yeah, but the outer, the candy shell of the Tootsie Pops have always been superior. I've always found
the cherry is great.
Yeah,
I don't like chocolate and cherry at all, but I will fucking get my hand ripped off going for a fucking red Tootsie Pop as a kid. And then Cherry. If I had the one with the fucking star on the fucking wrapper, you know I'm getting a free one. And I'm making Orange. Up promotions that were just urban legends that had nothing to do with it being free. But I'm like, I have the star here with the problematic child in the Native American dress shooting a bow, I believe was like how that one was like depicted.
What?
Oh, wow.
I might be mixing the thing up where the star was at the end of a bow and arrow on a Tootsie Pop wrapper.
Huh.
Lemon. Strawberry. but chocolate? No siree. Yeah. No, I did not eat this thing to have a terrible chocolate taste. Because look, you don't have a good chocolate hard candy, right? There's no such thing as a hard candy with a chocolate taste that's delicious.
Right. It might as well be Werther's original.
Yeah, see? It had the little kid with a indigenous headdress on with the bow and arrow.
Wow.
And that was the star.
Yeah.
And I remember that's how much that shit was in my mind because I had a fucking Pavlovian response to that late racist little kid. I was like, that's
what
a free one. Huh?
What year is this? As if like it couldn't just be 2021.
I mean,
like,
I'm sure this has been on there since forever. I mean, you know, at the height of my consumption of these things was probably around the time Ricky Martin's Cup of Life, the theme for the 1998 France World Cup, was charting on the charts. So 97, 98.
So if we're ranking the Tootsie Pops, are you going red, blue, orange, yellow? Where are you at?
Orange, yellow,
wow,
red, grape,
wow,
and I won't even eat I won't even eat the chocolate. I won't even deign to eat the chocolate. I won't I won't even donate the chocolate.
These takes might be too hot. Actually,
I walk outside and I
lemon?
Throw the chocolate straight in the sewer.
Wow, lemon? Chocolate. Those are two flavors
Andy.
That
lemon.
Rarely go together. But
what lemon's great?
Okay, lemon. All right. Okay. No shout out
lemon
to you.
Hard candy.
Yeah.
I like lemon Starburst. That's the one lemon candy I like. I don't like a lot of lemon hard candy.
Mm.
Now these shits got 19 different fucking 18 flavors.
I mean, come on. Don't. Why mess?
See, this
it?
Is this is where the kids got it. They're just getting they're going out of control over there over Tootsie Roll.
Yeah. The you kids know, these days, they you know, with their YouTube, they're used to options. They're used to being able to just figure out whatever they want. I've had enough. This has been man
only. The only good thing about capitalism is diversifying the flavors of Tootsie Roll Pops.
Yeah. Have you tried the new ones? You tried the new ones?
Oh, I'm on an adventure. I'm on a journey, buddy.
These Pops minis, listen to what they have now. Watermelon, cherry, green apple, strawberry, kiwi, banana, raspberry, grape, fruit punch, tangerine, mango, chocolate, orange, black cherry, blackberry, lemon, strawberry, blue raspberry, and pomegranate.
Banana probably outpaces the candy made in banana flavor. Like the actual banana is so far superior, in my opinion, to every banana flavored thing that has ever been created.
Not the banana Jello pudding pop.
Okay. Oh. Banana pudding is actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
But I think I always assumed that had like banana pureed in there. Anyways, we have to talk about some less important stuff. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And we are following the continued just downward spiral of the conservative just mindscape as they have to now deal with hating corporations, it seems like.
The corporations are their, well, I mean, most, it is every politician's daddy for them. 99%, yeah. No matter what party you're in, corporations are daddy and mommy and everything. Mm-hmm. So they're having... this whole new era of corporate meddling, they don't like, because before it just used to be like, let us meddle on your behalf to deregulate everything. And then you keep the money coming and we'll just be your good little NASCARs going around the track on Capitol Hill, you know, fighting for your corporate rights. Mm. But then these fucking idiot CEOs started worrying about shit like voting rights. And apparently there was this call that happened over the weekend with over 100 of the top capitalist all-stars, CEOs, people trying to get together.
Ooh, Jamie Dimon?
Yeah, I don't know if Jamie Dimon was quite... I mean, they didn't say him by name, but I'm sure he had representation there.
Oh, yeah.
Because representation matters, especially on a call like that. But
are those capitalist trading cards, by the way?
I'm sure someone... like, it seems like some, like, 80s art piece. You know what
I
mean?
It has to be, a chromium... like, and all the like heads of the big investment banks would be like chromium cards, like the old Marvel cards. They were the special ones.
You know what's fucked up is you would probably create like a fucking collector's market where now these cards of like unknown capitalists who are like obscure are now like the hottest trading card you could fucking have. And it's whatever.
Dude, I've got an Epstein rookie when he was just coming out of teaching math.
When he was a teacher.
Just got drafted
from Dalton.
From Dalton. Damn,
dude, I have a pre-Berkshire. I got a pre-Berkshire fucking Buffett, bro.
Wow.
Pre-Burk Buff, dude.
Pre-Burk Buff.
So this call, right? First, there was a letter we talked about with like 72 black CEOs who were based, you know, essentially were like, this is fucking awful. And unfortunately, we're the only people who are trying to be very vocal because we're the most affected by it, despite our place socioeconomically. And the call of this one with this larger group of business leaders, quote, the call's goal was to unify companies that had been issuing their own statements and signing on to drafted statements from different organizations after the action in Georgia. this is the funny part is the leaders called in from around the country. Some chimed in from Augusta, Georgia, where they were attending the Masters golf tournament. Huh. So still, you know, still very, so they're still on brand. Still very much CEO capitalist call. They're like, I'm sorry, I'm here at the Masters. What's this about voting rights in this state I'm in right now? And this apparently was the thing that had all the GOP shook because they're like, what the fuck is with all this momentum of them getting together and talking about like outcomes for people to vote? And they were happy when the equation was essentially like, we'll give you money to like keep us making money. But now with all the in-your-face racism, it's now the consumers that are realizing that they may be able to be the neck that turns the head on some level between like what corporations feel is appropriate. Because prior to this, people weren't as engaged and people were like, yeah, I don't know. I think these companies are bad, but like there's too much going on that I'm not aware enough of what bad means. And now with all of the, you know, companies giving money to mask off racist politicians or people who are rah-rahing the insurrection, they're now, the companies are like, oh, actually, this is a thing called a terrible marketing campaign, and it affects things that we give a fuck, like brand loyalty or brand perception. And that's where we're not like the GOP, which is a death cult, because where you're willing, your end game is to die. The second it starts fucking with our profits, we got to figure some other shit out, because our God is money, not this other ideology, which is also a death cult, but with a slightly more longevity.
A different God. Moloch. Yeah.
Right.
Moloch? How do you say his name?
Yeah.
His name.
Mm-hmm.
But do you guys think, so like, obviously like the GOP's watchword of their faith is white supremacy. And I find like when you try to figure out like their actions, if you just say like they will do anything they can to uphold white supremacy over profits, over anything else, and they will do whatever they can to uphold white supremacy. And I don't, you think that like a lot of corporations are similar, but they just don't want to be as vocal about it?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, they're not going to be like rah-rahing socialism from like the, you know, the fucking Coca-Cola Instagram account. So there's definitely a line of where the progress will halt even for corporations, right? Where it becomes an existential threat to their business. So I think they still are still guided by things like, we got to sell shit. And if people think we support this stuff, we sell less shit. So let's at least make sounds about it. That's why, like, at the end of the day, I'm not sure what the fuck any of these companies will actually do to ensure these things, aside from giving themselves the optical cover of being like, well, we got together. I remember I missed like the part of the last round at Augusta to be on this call. So don't say I wasn't all in on these voting rights things, even though I let it happen.
But like there was a report like a week or two ago, maybe, about how Hollywood misses out on, I think it's like, I forget what the number is.
Like 1.6 billion, right? Without having like more black people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And because they're so dedicated to white supremacy, even if maybe they don't understand it. Maybe let's say they're ideologically dumb and they don't really get that that's what they're doing. But there probably are a bunch of people that do. Like, they obviously care more about white elites than they do about making money. Or like, maybe there's like some kind of weird threshold where they're like, we won't go below this threshold of money. We'll maintain white supremacy as long as we're making like the
40 billion.
Yeah, the 3% that we have to make every quarter.
We'll see, because that's what was interesting. Like, when McKinsey hands you a report saying, hey, fellow capitalists, you're leaving fucking money on the table.
Right.
Like, we'll see. I mean, I think the effects of that report, I think, will be borne out over the next year and a half or so to see like what changes. But I don't know. It seems like that was like the last compelling argument. It's like, it's, you're leaving money in the billions on the table by doing this.
It's corruption that is built into the system to maintain a status quo that benefits the people who are currently in power, who are, you know, white people who have benefited from white supremacist values. And both companies and politicians, like, by design, are supposed to have to embrace and represent the beliefs of their consumers. But I feel like through sort of colluding together, they've been able to not do that so that they can kind of stay in power and keep the status quo. But it's just about kind of finding new ways to force their hand, it seems like.
Yeah. And now over at the Federalist, They are shitting their Supreme Court packing pants over there. They've said, this is an op-ed that came out. And just shout out to Wonka for kind of compiling some of their other headlines, because it really, it's fun when you read it all together. But this headline came out, said, it's not okay for corporations to take away our freedom just because they're not government. I'm sorry. What? Y'all were circle jerking around Hobby Lobby and Citizens United and all this other shit. But now you're like, what are... This is out of control.
I don't even
folks.
Understand that headline. What, so the just because they're not government is...
It's that
what,
they think they're...
What does that
they're,
relate to?
I don't know that the idea is that who the hell do they think they are? Government? They're the ones that get to do racism officially or whatever or unofficially. So that they want to change this? No.
Right. Okay, I see. What
I think it's usually
so they're
like
saying they're, like, this is separation of church and state.
This isn't your lane,
should
corporations.
Also be separation of corporations and state.
It's basically like you're a person if you are riding with our agenda, but if we find you on the right. other end, if we're now diametrically opposed, then oh fuck all of you. And
right.
This,
that's Mitch McConnell's whole thing. Remember, his
right.
whole thing is just the blind acquiring and use of power for his own ends and for the right. GOP elite's own ends.
Yeah.
And that's it. And if you align with that, then you're with them. And if you don't align with that, then you're against them. And that's the only principle. That I think it's such an yeah. easy way to figure out these people.
We right. believe in nothing.
It's not about governing. They're just like, I'm just trying to amass as much bullshit before my corpse rots and expires. And then yeah. I'll look back at all my disappointed descendants who are like changing their last name because of me. But this I just want to read parts of this fucking op-ed. Because first, they're starting to be like, it's like sound this alarm. Like, imagine a world where CEOs get together and like set agendas based on their like business interests, because just purely because they dominate the public square. It goes on
like,
to say,
maybe
quote,
at a place called Davos or right. Bohemian Grove
or
some
Aspen.
Weird place like that.
So this is what the op-ed says, quote, if this works, the pressure on voting laws will be tomorrow's pressure on gun laws, and next on immigration laws, abortion laws, and education laws. Corporations, which for decades lobbied merely on issues pertinent to their financial interests, have now begun to capitalize on aggressive wokeism. Soon, woke corporate boardrooms will be weighing in on every facet of American life. That's the existential threat to American liberty flying under the radar.
I mean, I think this is good because somebody was going to take the populist position. Like, people kept calling Trump populist, but he wasn't actually populist because everything he did was to fuck over the little guy and, you know, benefit
he was faux corporate populist.
Cronyism. He was faux populist, but like not even really, because racism isn't populism. It's not
right.
good for
Well, that was like Bannon's thing. I guess right. he was just like kind of like living in Bannon's feces.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
A micro from his bowels.
Flood the lane with shit. That was his metaphor, actually. Yeah. We like to flood the zone with shit. But this feels like they're going explicitly elitist now. They're like, right. what, they're going to do the things that are good for people just because the people want it, and we're going to have to listen too. And like all the things that they mentioned are, it feels very much like things that they're on the wrong side of. Like, people want more gun control. They have put yeah. in institutional barriers so that we can't get more gun control. People want better schools. They
yeah.
put in institutional barriers.
I think they don't realize ideologically that this road ends with like the party just disintegrating at a certain point because all the ideas are so unsustainable. Right. And I think now that people are off ramping from them, they're like, oh, what's going on? Oh, now they don't know. And they're like, are we burning up in the atmosphere? Because there's a whole other poll saying just how far off. And this was apparent to everyone. But how far off Republicans are just in general from the mainstream, just on race, like how right. so wrong they consistently are, that's also another thing, like repulsing certain business interests too, because like you can't even, like, these aren't ideas like you can have anymore. But
yeah, when public opinion starts turning against these right wing freaks, they always like take a position where there's a particle of something leftist and real in there, which is like, I don't want corporations having a say in anything.
Yeah.
Right. You like, fuckers are the ones that like push Citizens United and everything. And like back in the, like, when was the 1800s when they first said that, when the Supreme Court first ruled that corporations were people. Like, you right-wing freaks are the ones that have been pushing this line for over a century. And now it's turning against you, and you want to say that corporations shouldn't have any say. And I agree with you. Corporations shouldn't have any say
in
public life. But you're only doing it because they're actually, like, pushing something that is, like, kinder. You only turn against them when they were like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be so... Maybe it's bad for our image for us to, like, bite the throats out of orphans.
Right.
Right.
Or, yeah, inhibit people to vote, explicitly black people, and try and... Right. There's no way you can be like, I don't know if... I think it's about voter confidence and security. No. No, it isn't. So now they're forced to, you know, make these decisions. I just want to read a couple other past Federalist headlines, because just to know where they're at normally. It's things like, quote, how the free market promotes tolerance, diversity, and inclusion far better than socialism does. Another one. Let's deregulate everyone instead of applying outdated rules to new ideas.
Uh-huh.
How capitalism is better for the environment than the Green New Deal.
Oh, boy. Jesus.
This is the normal line that they toe. Yet we get to this other section of the op-ed where they start being like, well, fuck, man, libertarian free market shit is also bullshit. Where they say this, quote, yet many Republicans in power appear to have fallen victim to this deception, often citing libertarian philosophy to justify their decisions. This, however, is where libertarianism fails. What good is the absence of a government mask mandate if private businesses implement their own? What good is the absence of a government vaccine passport if private businesses implement their own? Okay, see you later.
Mm-hmm. Remember, these people have no deeply held values except amassing power. Everything boils down to that. They will say whatever they can to get power and to keep power and to wield power on the less powerful.
Ugh. But yeah, and then they're doing things like, but that's your favorite track, libertarianism and the free market. That's how you, that's what you pivot to when you're saying being a normal Republican's too racist. Then you can do that one. Oh, and now that one's not good? Oh, because it was never about any of that shit anyway. Exactly.
And again, anybody who thinks, like, stupidity is the problem, those headlines were written by people who, like, went to Harvard and Yale and, like, are... By all the metrics, the people who are like, these idiots, like, it's just dumb people voting for Trump. Like, those are the people who you're talking about in a lot of cases.
Right. Yeah. Remember, the capital insurrectionist people were all like bourgeois middle class or upper middle class folks.
And then some like people bust in. Off their dime. Yeah. Like, we're like, yeah, we can pay for some poor other people to be here, too. And we'll let them do the rough stuff, and we'll just cheer it on from the outside. Mm-hmm. Take some selfies.
Yeah, all the people that were in the QAnon doc.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back, and tasers have been in a lot of conversations recently because the murder of Dante Wright by the Brooklyn Center police officer, who has since resigned. Her claim and the video shows her actions. She yells taser, taser, taser as she has a Glock in her hand and then shoots him to death.
That seems like a cheat code. You're like, right. I said it in the body cam footage.
I said, yeah, you heard me.
Uh-huh. That's not. Mm-hmm.
And the police are using that as like accidental discharge. You really got a feel for the lady, guys. Come on. It's really, she just had a.
Oh, no, nothing of Dante Wright, who's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Could you imagine that goof of being a fucking racist murderer? Oh,
extra
boy.
Shut the fuck up to Joe Biden. Being like, well, we're waiting to see if it's a I'll give him Mitch McConnell's voice at this point.
Yeah,
we're waiting to see if it was an accident or not. But there's no, like, the thing he really zoomed in on is looting. Sure. But anyways, the idea that tasers and the fact that she was trying to use a taser on somebody they had pulled over for, I guess, either tags being out of date or because he had a air freshener hanging from his rearview mirror.
Neither good excuse.
The fact that she was using a taser on him, like that seems to have become the focus with like the New York Times, CNN. While not common, officers have mistaken pistols for tasers, sometimes with deadly outcomes.
White supremacists.
Keep
explainer,
just sucking
how does
on
an
that
officer
boot.
Use a gun instead of a taser? How easy or hard is it to confuse a gun for a taser? This is CNN. So
why I'm so sorry. This just this stuff at this point, I don't know why any literally like after the cops have been killing black men for centuries, but like literally like in our like maybe what's the like modern era where we all kind of
on
see what's
camera.
Going on. Ferguson is like, does it start in Ferguson?
Yeah, I mean,
really?
We're talking cell phone
footage, VHS. Yeah.
Like it all. But yeah, I mean, without giving that timeline. Yeah, since time immemorial.
Sure. Yes. But let's just say the last 7 years, perhaps, are like the real, like it's so obvious to us all. And it's so, have you ever listened to like an interview with Noam Chomsky where people ask him about like, what should the U.S. do here? What should blah, blah, what, you know, whatever. They ask him this stuff and he's just like, well, it's obvious, blah, blah. Like he just says, well, it's like it's so self-evident to him. Mm-hmm. If like abolish the police isn't self-evident to everyone right now, I don't know what to say to someone. And right. Anyone who doesn't come into that with come into like any reporter who is reporting on this doesn't have this as a self-evident start. to this discussion is just not to be taken seriously. I don't know how to take any news report seriously that starts with the premise, is it easy to confuse a taser with a handgun? It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's easy. It's not. First of all, it's not. We know what they look like.
Just based on weight, color, materials used for the destructor.
They don't have the same trigger.
Right.
Don't you have to cock a gun? Don't you have to take a safety off? Also, that very question infers that the taser was a reasonable course of action.
Yeah. But those people are, it's not serious. They're not serious. They're obviously not doing anything serious. They're not doing anything newsworthy or journalistic. They are just stirring the pot.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's where you see that even for people who don't realize it, how systemic white supremacy has to then use all of its mechanisms to protect itself, to allow it from, you know, protection from further analysis, for people to realize how deep it runs. And I think for these people, they're like, no, I think this is actually an interesting, like, let's just say for a second, right? These are just these like neoliberal journalists who have fully fucking drank the Kool-Aid that we're in some post-racial bullshit world.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I mean, seriously, like, let's try and extend some empathy. And let's just say, like, it's not common, but it has happened. And like, maybe we should just talk about that, and just so people understand, without realizing the fact that you're introducing this to the discourse is so fucked up and regressive and has nothing to do with what the fuck is happening. If you were actually going to write something that was clear, maybe talk about how tasers are bullshit. Maybe talk about how is this still happening?
Makes and I think it's weird because you're able to empathize with.
Yeah. These editorial rooms, these boardrooms are just sort of like, don't use white supremacy to explain white supremacy. Do not do that. As a news outlet, we refuse to do that. And it's just so evident every single fucking headline that comes out that isn't an op-ed where it takes someone to be like, this is my opinion. But that shit is clear as fucking day to people. It doesn't have to be an op-ed. It should be fucking front page news.
So our writer Jam was kind of put together a history on tasers. Obviously also a deadly weapon of racial oppression. Black people are 3 times more likely to be tased by police than white people. The taser is a lethal weapon, often resulting in fatalities, with police disproportionately killing black people. But I think another, like the technocrat aspect of it, like that Obama, like technocratism, where like his 2012 election, they were like, we used Facebook for our purposes, and like got reelected, and the media was like, yes, sir. That's brilliant. You guys, we have solved everything with technology. I feel like that's built in here a little bit too, that like, well, we just create a safer option for shooting unarmed black men. And even if the tasers themselves don't kill people, they frequently malfunction. And so the cops just shoot and kill the person instead.
Use that someone having a taser to be like, oh, that shit could kill. So I had to kill them because they had a taser. It's like, well, what the fuck?
We've programmed these new robot police dogs to not see race.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. Not see. Mm-hmm. The justification was like originally to curb shootings. Studies have found, quote, no evidence that using tasers reduces police use of firearms. It's just creates like a hotter atmosphere, like a more violent atmosphere.
Yeah.
And they were literally created as a substitute for cattle prods, which were being used by cops against black civil rights protesters in the 60s. And because the police literally said that they were herding the civil rights protesters, while they described using the cattle prods, that was a PR boo-boo for the racist police. And so they created tasers. And the inventor of taser, this is interesting, the phrase taser comes from the novel that the NASA scientist was inspired by, called Tom Swift and His Electric Rifle. And then he just added an A because it was easier to say.
Rather than the teaser.
Yeah, rather than the teaser. In the book, Tom Swift, who this was like a early 20th century sci-fi franchise.
Yeah, I read those when I was a kid.
Yeah, so he brings his electric rifle to Africa. And it's a colonialist fantasy in which this white hero invents a new kind of gun and decides to test it out on, quote, the dark continent, first hunting elephants and then battling the African people who the book describes as scarcely human. So,
well, I don't remember that part when I was a kid.
Right. It's just so thoroughly, with everything in American culture, like when you just fucking barely scratch the surface, it's just completely
right. It wasn't like some NASA scientist like, I'm trying to find a way we could heat up some water out in space and I stumbled upon this taser. No, it's like, I read this book about a little colonizer boy who wanted to tame the fucking savage people of Africa with his electric gun. And I said, oh, I want to make the real life version of that shit I saw in a racist book.
Yes. Like, and I was inspired. I was spurred to action by watching the police brutalize Black civil rights activists. So
this giant mech I've created to help police people is based on Birth of a Nation.
Right.
Yes.
Like, what? There weren't even mechs in there. It's like, I don't know. You should read between the lines.
So that's just a brief history of the humane option that people are like, well, they were, I mean, it's just an honest mistake. And the thing that we have to be concerned about is all this looting.
Right. Because it's about inanimate objects over black living bodies.
Yes. Huh.
These are unserious people.
I'm the really president. Curious, you know, like what happens with the other thing when you see people get taser stung? Like, what happens to your brain when you get hit with that electricity? And also, like, you see videos where people are running at a full sprint and get hit with that taser and they just flop pancake. Down. And if you've seen fucked up fist fights, people get knocked out and collapse and die from hitting their head on the concrete because they're not rigid enough to break their fall. Like, I'm curious to know what all these other shit we're not actually grouping into taser injury, because it's not often you just see someone like eat the taser and they're like, okay, I'm sorry, I'll sit down and I'll cooperate. It's always very violent.
Yeah.
Do they even keep statistics on any of that stuff? Because it's obviously not in their interest to.
Who knows?
On what?
Taser injuries and, like, I guess you would call that stuff secondary taser injuries.
I mean, they didn't even keep statistics on gun violence until like a year ago. And even then it was like their hand was forced by journalists having to like do all of this like linking of different databases because, the whole country is just completely overrun by gun lobby and white supremacy. It's pretty wild.
Can't there be like a private database in the way that, like, remember a couple years ago there was the like scummy men in media list,
right
that like Excel sheet that women would pass around to make sure that you didn't work with, like, you know, creeps that were editors and things like that.
Would this be a list of the only police who aren't racist and willing to use white supremacist violence to kill people?
Sure. So it's like, you know, handful.
I mean, there is a 2008 journal study that says taser and taser associated injuries, a case series. And the abstract is basically saying, like, people need to realize it's like, it says taser use theoretically reduces the risk of injury and death by decreasing the use of lethal force. But we report a spectrum of injuries sustained by 4 patients subdued with taser devices, like skull fractures, some kind of brain hemorrhage, breaking of the orbitals around your eye, orbital floor fracture, concussions, facial laceration. It's like all those other things that happen on the way down or depending on where you might get hit with the taser. So it's just all fucking, this is nonsense.
Yeah. And they just shouldn't be armed. Absolutely. Police
or
shouldn't
exist.
Be armed. Yeah. Or exist.
That's why I find like all the debate that happens around this stuff. That's why I like, I'm just like, it's so like patently obvious at this point that like having these like secondary debates about like guns versus taser or something, it's like, well, no, the basic debate is how, like, the basic debate for everyone that is serious about this stuff is like, how do we phase out policing in America and build up something that is more just?
And
unrecognizable.
What's wild is the answer to 100 out of 100 questions about this country is support the human beings that live here.
Right.
That's it. The idea of as if crime is some kind of deficiency that occurs within people of color because they are jealous of white people's Wi-Fi is so fucked up and racist, rather than saying this is You know what happens when you're left with very little options? You have to survive. And then because we've criminalized poverty, then now we found a way to put the failings of our lack of support for you into another industry where we can profit off of now incarcerating you. Because somebody's making money off of this shit. And it's that simple. Like, everything. Just fucking support people. Like, people who feel supported have less of a need to commit crimes to survive.
By the way, have you guys ever seen a white supremacist that did not look like a Morlock? Like, I don't understand how, like, in the Q documentary, the Watkinses, like, I don't understand how you're like Ron Watkins and you look in the mirror and you're like, yep, this is the peak. This is the peak of all humans.
right.
This
we're
is
supreme. The best. Well, yeah, I always talk about how I think the lie that they are living is very apparent to them, which makes them so hateful and gives them like a lot of the energy that they use to carry into this shit. Is like, ew, they are having to live that lie, try and tell that lie to themselves every morning when they look in the mirror, and at a certain level they don't believe it. But
love that Freudian spice you're adding.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Usher. There's some Usher things being said about Usher Raymond online that I don't want to believe. That he was tipping dancers at Sapphire Dancers with money with his face on it.
Mm-hmm. Fake money.
Fake money. It looks great. I mean, there has been a great deal of care put into creating what money would look like were Usher the only president we had ever had.
Right.
Because it's we got ones, we got 20s, we got hundos, and it's Usher all the way down.
And it all started when a dancer put on her IG story, like, these three bills with Usher's face on it. And the caption said, "Ladies, what would you do if you danced all night for Usher and he threw this?" And it's Ush bucks. Okay. Then the next story says, the money does not have a trading value whatsoever. LMAO, don't y'all think he should be blasted on social media for this shit? And he was, rightly. Everyone's like, oh no. And I think, while most of us would love to think that Usher is so cheap that he would bother to print up just all these fake dollars with his fucking face on it, rather than
just like
throwing
company script.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Can you use it at Usher's online store?
Unfortunately, you can't. This has zero, not even for what clearly says this is what the next phase of the investigation moves into. On the bill itself, it says Usher, the Las Vegas residency, which is to promote his residency at a casino. He's going to be performing on the strip or whatever. He got a big check for that. And there have been images of, like, the promotional stuff with him with a suitcase full of these Usher dollars. So, like, it's known that this stuff was made and it was part of a promotion. According to the management at the Sapphire Club, they say Usher was a legit customer and he paid real money and tipped real money and overpay for sparkly champagne with real money. And it turns out from the sources around Usher's camp, a friend of his in the entourage just left some of the loose bills on stage when they were leaving, just like as a gag, even though like they had been giving money. And then this image came out. But I will say this, this is what management says too. So I don't know if Usher did, or maybe someone in his entourage tried to be funny with the stupid money or something, and that's what happened, which is also possible. But I will say this, anybody who's dealt drugs, worked a cashier, or danced at a club knows the feeling of real money. And right, you would know if you're picking up some bullshit. I mean, granted, there's probably tons of bills for you to handle at once, but I don't know. We'll see.
I used to work at Pathmark and someone tried to pay for their groceries with Usher bucks. There's a hole.
And then you're just like, I my heart's breaking for you. I'll let this one slide.
Yeah. Can't use it at Pathmark, but you can use it at most Ralphs. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Kroger will take Blueface Usher hundreds.
I'm gonna believe the dancer until we hear more. But
I want to hear the dancers of Sapphire say this, not the management of Sapphire.
Right. But who also, who initially posted it? I guess we don't have like great sourcing on this.
Yeah. I mean, Jezebel has some. They started looking around, but mostly like the quotes they had were from other people commenting on how bullshit a move that is to do at a strip club, which is I think apparent.
I think Jane Jane Mayer did an expose on this in the New Yorker. I'm seeing.
She was dark money.
She has a recording.
The Usher, yeah. Raymond tip scandal.
She's like, fuck that Koch brothers piece I had. Y'all need to hear what Usher and his friends talk about on the way to Sapphire. They were throwing funny money out.
Huh. Anyways, Vegas stays getting really great talent. Shout out to anybody who's going to Vegas, getting to see Usher, getting to see who's up right now. Katy Perry, I think, has been up for a while.
When are we going to get that, you know?
I know. The Daily Zeitgeist Vegas residency.
Yeah, residency. Oh, God. Don't come
to our
show.
It's a really good deal because you can be like one of three people in the audience and we'll just hang out with you.
Yeah, it's like the local like Vegas Zeit gang. They're just like, sorry, y'all. I mean, the first week was fun, but it's kind of a lot.
I'm getting old.
The tickets are kind of
what do you guys
priced.
Think is going to be the first podcast to get a Las Vegas residency? Joe Rogan?
Yeah, probably Rogan. And then he'll like kick your ass afterwards.
Or like, I feel like Josh and Chuck.
Josh and Chuck could. Yo,
Josh and Chuck
Stuff You Should Know sell out.
They're
massive.
So, yeah. They do like arena shows.
Yeah.
So that's, I think based off the strength of that, that translates like to this very, but Rogan does have a draw too, because Vegas is a very UFC city.
UFC, yeah. He, like, the audience then nominates someone to fight him at the end.
Oh,
and then,
shit.
Yeah.
This is a good show.
And then if you beat him, then you get to do
you get to host.
Drugs with him the next day.
No, that you become the Joe Rogan.
You become the...
And then he has to fight his way back from the audience to get his spot back. That's dope. Ew.
I mean, has Marin done one of these? Because Marin's stand-up is now basically, like, podcast format. He's just, like, kind of riffing out there.
Yeah.
So that's,
do you think
that's
a Las
incredible.
Vegas audience wants to see a neurotic Jew go through his like existential
talk
issues with death?
Nah. Probably
I'm gonna
not.
We're all gonna die.
Where's Seinfeld?
But you'd rather just be like to go see a Stuff You Should Know show. Be like, why are casinos so cold? You're like, yeah.
Do they really
like
pump
that?
In the oxygen?
Huh.
Actually, I want to go listen to whatever casino material they've done now.
What kind of casino material, guys? And then Rogan's just like, you know, I don't know if like trans women should fight UFC. Like, where's the line? You know what I mean, Elon? Yeah.
Is there,
like, what the fuck is this?
Is there some sort of spell or like some sort of monkey paw thing where he agreed to become the most famous podcaster, but he would like physically have to turn into Alex Jones because he's like looking more and more Jonesy to me as of late.
I don't know.
He's connected. Maybe as Alex Jones's power wanes,
right?
Oh.
It flows into him in the same way. Not to bring this back to the beginning, but Seth Cohen and Ryan Atwood. As Seth becomes a terrible character, Ryan Atwood becomes a better character. I feel like they're connected in that way.
Huh.
In the same way Joe Rogan and Alex Jones are connected.
In that sense, Alex Jones is the portrait of Dorian Gray.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
To Joe Rogan's Dorian Gray.
Yes.
Ah, I see.
I got a tweet that relates back to that I will share at the end of this episode.
Wait, Dorian Gray and Alex Jones?
to Dorian Gray. which we have come to. We have come to the end of the episode. And Andy, as always, man, it's been so fun having you back on TDZ. Where can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, what a delight it's been. Thank you guys for having me. At Andy Beckerman on all social media. And I have two podcasts that are really wonderful. One is called Beginnings, which is I talk to artists I like about their childhoods, including everyone from Battlestar Galactica creator Ron D. Moore to Mac McCon, the lead singer of Superchunk. And then one I do with my wife, Naomi, called Couples Therapy, where we, in quarantine, the show has become basically we answer listeners' relationship advice questions with someone that we love, which includes everyone from Kumail to Tig. So
nice.
Check those out on wherever you get your podcast from. It's me, Shock Jock again.
Hey,
shocking it up.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. So this, in the last day or so, this is from @Tristan_Isaac. It's just a couple tweets together, but basically this person says, I told a bootlicker that pizza delivery drivers have more dangerous jobs than cops. So they asked me who I'd rather call if my house was burglarized or my car stolen. I got to say, I'd much rather have a fresh baked pizza pie after such a traumatic experience than to have to answer a bunch of intrusive, probing questions from a fascist who may or may not follow up with me 6 to 18 months later to tell me they picked someone up trying to hawk my stereo. And while he didn't have anything else of mine, they're charging him with burglary and betting on a plea deal. And my stereo is being held as evidence, but I might be able to get it back after the trial, except the cop copied down my address wrong, and after the property lockup can't contact me, auctioned my boombox off for money to buy new guns, with which that same cop uses to hold my neighbor's son at gunpoint because he matched the description of someone, and there has been a lot of burglaries in the area recently, and now that kid has PTSD, and the cop gets a promotion, and the person caught with my stereo is serving time, plus the pizza would get there faster.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Damn.
Goated.
One of the greats. Holy shit.
Shit.
That was beautiful.
My favorite kind of construction of simple answer, but just zooming the fuck in on that thing.
You know, now that you mention it, Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, talking 90 Day and other trash TVs. The tweets that I like. First one from Molly Fitzpatrick, at Molly Fitz. Wait till America hears about birth control side effects. Because there's been a lot of talk about these vaccines and blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
Hormonal birth control, pretty fucked up, it turns out.
Yeah.
Another one is from Reductress. At Reductress, I gave a mouse a cookie and now I'm in a toxic one-sided relationship.
Shout out to parents.
Chris Estrada, at Chris Estrada 85. I know I went to a hood high school because my 10th grade history teacher, Mr. Johnson, aka DeFari, was a rapper with a feature on Dr. Dre's The Chronic 2001.
Whoa.
The fact that DeFari was your we need to have Chris Estrada on because I remember the DeFari album cover. His shit was spelled like the Lakers font because he's so LA with it. Shout out to DeFari. And then finally, at Afro Elvin tweeted, the NYPD don't want you to know that pouring a McDonald's large Sprite over those robo dogs will instantly end their shit.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
I do wonder if that's true. Like, I mean, they've made iPhones so I can now take them into the shower so I don't have to be alone with my own thoughts. I do wonder if they've waterproofed those dogs. Tweet I've been enjoying is from Avery Edison, who tweeted, Devil, you shall stay forever young, but this picture of you will bear the marks of your sin. Dorian, can I hide it? Devil. Well, yes, but Dorian. And there are no other consequences? Devil, this picture will become so foul, Dorian. Again, probably I'll hide the picture. enjoyed that. I forgot that you were related to Dorian Gray, Miles. That's
don't fucking put me in that fucking lane. I remember that I got excited when I first heard about it. I was like, oh, cool. There's a character with my last name. And then I'm like, what the fuck is this dude talking about?
Also, Joan Halty Catchfire tweeted, hey, Quentin Tarantino, remember back in 2015 when you chucked a fit because Star Wars was monopolizing the dome and it couldn't show The Hateful Eight? This is your chance, dude. Buy the dome. Never let another Disney movie on that screen again. Yo, this needs to happen. Get at me, anybody who wants to. Like, I want to see.
Let's buy the dome.
Like, these need to be boutique theaters, like, or fucking let the studios buy up a theater at a time, turn them into dispensaries, and just like make movie like this is our chance to start over at ground zero with what a movie theater can be.
We need a film forum out here or an IFC theater out here. Yeah.
For people who haven't heard, they're shutting down the arc lights out here. And I mean, this is the thing, like, I've always loved the fact that LA takes its film going very seriously. And like the Arclight was one of the main ways that we did that, was like you could always see any movie and you would like be able to reserve a seat, like back before that was even a thing. And like, yes, they wouldn't let you in if you were late. And now
very elitist. You love to see it.
But yeah, I mean, like LA, it was LA's answer to Broadway. It was like our broke ass answer to Broadway.
Hey, folks, welcome to this showing of Inception. You guys excited? All right. Well, my name's Miles. I'm going to be ensuring the quality of the sound and picture during the show in the first 15 minutes because here at Arclight, we take the movie going experience super serious.
Yeah.
Okay, please stop throwing shit at me. We'll get the movie going.
Every once in a while, like you could see a like a director or like do a director Q&A after a movie, like if you went the opening weekend.
Yeah, and what was it? I think Inglourious Basterds. I saw the Tarantino thing there.
Did you really?
Yeah, and that's when I was like, I saw him for the first time in person. And I was like, I'm not a fan of this guy anymore.
Is it true he made everyone take their shoes and socks off while he was doing that?
No, that was a different one. This was like, he was just there to like talk before. It wasn't like the full-blown one. He just happened to be at the bar outside, and he kept like chatting like these women up and being like, Cadillac Margarita. That's what he kept drinking, and then like making other people like who would talk to him, he was like, oh, you don't like a Cadillac Margarita. And I was like, you're so sweaty, sir. I don't know what's going on. Like, and you somehow you reek of cocaine. I don't know how you did that.
That's amazing that where the insides of somebody else's nose smell like cocaine to other people.
The fuck?
Yeah, but shout out to him. I mean, he does like one of the great.
Hey, you know, shout out to him. You know what I mean?
He and cocaine collaborated on some great scripts. That is the personification of cocaine talking.
I'm worried though that it's like Amazon or some shit buys the dome, and then we're just
right. That's why I'm saying like artists need to get on this shit quick. Artists and drug dealers work together. Let's get some theaters up and running before fucking Amazon buys them all. And the only thing we can watch is like the Jeff Bezos biopic that he just produced. That's got to be coming, right?
Like, I feel like there should be a movement in LA for us to own the dome.
Right.
Like we own it.
Yeah. Own hashtag the theater, own the dome.
Own the dome. And then we are like, yo, we play what the fuck we want. Like it's all, you know, like it's collectively owned. We pay everybody good. We're not really interested in cashing out on. We just want to keep the dome fucking our thing. Keep the dome our home.
Yeah.
Own the dome.
Start that GoFundMe.
I'm about to run off with the money though.
That's one thing you should know is we will take that money.
It just said they're not opening. Who are they selling the land? Like who?
How
do you even find out who owns that shit?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whoever owns like that property, I'd imagine, like where that whole theater complex is.
Right. For like 1 minute when I heard this, I was like, I'm gonna like try and do something with this, and then I was like thinking about all the meetings with insufferable people that it would require to do that and how hard it would be. And now I'm just putting it out there to Zeitgang. Figure it out. All right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode. And we also link off to a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are you linking off to?
This is going to be just a really nice kind of new jazzy joint called Grosch Joint. G-R-O-S-C-H Joint. It's by Matthias Bublath and Max Grosch. Forgive my pronunciation, but there's a lot of tight drumming and keyboard playing in here. And it's nice to just, you know, hear some humans play their instruments. You know, that's a sound I think we miss. So we're going out on that one.
My mouth has been missing the sound Grosch. I just like making that. All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.